It's all right, Connor. I think I can find it.
You just have to make sure you have the sword with you.
Listen here, McCloud. Every time I taught you, it was all about the quickening.
You're right, Connor. You never told me about that one. What is this quickening?
It's all about ducks. They go quackening.
I sit here waiting, contemplating what's the best day. Watching that you move in, I'm the leader moment.
And welcome to the one, the only, the Muller podcast here live on Facebook and of course live on FPN. For the final episode here, as we look into the world of Highlander, folks. That's right. Highlander is one thing that always interested me because of the interesting lives of these immortals. Now, the Highlander one we're going to be talking about today is, of course, Highlander The Gatherings, the pilot episode of what became the Highlander series, which went forever. It's one of the longest-running science fiction and action series, basically come on to television all over the globe. It's got a following that's just unbelievable and unstoppable. I'm your host, Mo Bryan, and we're going to look at that tonight. Also, we're going to look at a few changes that are happening with Leader Mother as well, and a new network, which we're going to talk about in the news segment here too. But before we do that, let's let you know what's happening and where you can find this show and many others like it. First of all, you can catch us on the Fandom Podcast Network. And you can find that, of course, on the one, the only, Podbean. So go and download the app on Podbean on your iPhones, Google Play, whatever it is. The app is fantastic. It's got all of our shows on it. You can get the whole back catalogue. You can go on there, interact. It's really great. Or you can go on, of course, the actual fpnet.podbean.com page itself, which takes you straight there. You also find it on all your podcatchers. Obviously, Apple, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, it's there. You can catch me at TheLittleMullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm always updating with new action movie stuff. You can find things that we're going to be covering in next episodes, or even just stuff that people have brought up to us here at the show as well. There's a lot of listeners that are interested in going back and resurgence into some of these great episodes of films that we just haven't seen. There's some great ones that we're going to be bringing up next year, Australian ones, which you probably haven't seen before overseas. Movies like The Time Guardian with Carrie Fisher, folks. That's right. And The Man from Snowy River. All in the same movie, so that's going to be happening as well. But drum roll, here's into the news segment, folks. We are doing something a little bit different next year. So in February, Lethal Mullet will be not leaving Fandom Podcast Network as such. What it will be doing is moving to its own network. So you still will find Lethal Mullet on there. But those episodes will also be coming out earlier on another network, and that is, of course, my own network. New one called Lethal Mullet Network. Tentatively, we may change the title at this stage, but that's what we're looking at. It might be Lethal Mullet Radio, who knows. But in February, that will launch, and it's going to be taking all the shows that I produce over to there. So you'll be finding Lethal Mullet Podcast, obviously, the main show. You'll also be finding Matrix, a Star Trek fan podcast, of course, with myself and co-host Mark Newbold, and you'll find on there too, James Semple on there chatting, and of course, talking about music more. We're going to really go deep on some of the music of Star Trek, because it's really something that I think doesn't get talked about enough, and he has a passion for that. Mark and I will obviously still continue to smash through some of the great episodes of Star Trek and really do a deep dive. You'll find that over there. You'll also find on there, of course, the June podcast that we do, of course, the Mullet Guild. That will be amping up again around about the same time, about March, probably next year. We're going to build up towards, of course, October 2021, where we get a cinematic release for Denny Villeneuve's Dune. Yes, he's fought the good fight, and people have had enough of Warner Brothers and their rubbish when it comes to this streaming channel, which we can't get out here in Australia, folks. HBO and Foxtel are like this. That's right. So you'll never see HBO Max in that form out here. So it's actually a good thing. Like right now, Wonder Woman 84 is on the cinemas, folks, out here in Australia. So that just shows you that they're still out there fighting the good fight. And also a new show, which Lee Fillingsness is going to be co-piloting with me. Now, I say co-piloting because we're going to be mercs, or in this case, bounty hunters, chatting bounty hunter stuff on, of course, a Mando Mullet show. So
it being a Mando show, it's going to be all about Star Wars. But this one's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be looking at The Mandalorian in particular, but we're also going to be doing some deep dives into the old folklore of Star Wars, because I think there's something that we don't really get to do on the other shows as much. Lee is a big-time Star Wars fan, and you may know him from, of course, his Blood of Kings work and the stuff he's chatted about on, of course, my shows on, obviously, we've done recently, Rising Sun, Hunt for October we've done together, but he is a very passionate Star Wars fan. So we're going to get into his love of that on there too, and of course mine, and really get into deep on what's important in the old back catalogue that we should go back and just have a really good look at, because it's all great Star Wars. It is. You'll find that on that too, but some of those shows you'll also find occasionally on FPN as well too, because those guys are just fantastic. So to Kevin, Kyle, particularly the last 2 years with Lethal, I just want to say huge thanks. They've always been there for us, and then in return for us in my original networks, which of course was Jogcast Radio Network and of course Ozfans Radio Network. So I've been podcasting for a while now, folks, and to all those listeners that have followed us all the way through, a huge thanks. It's been a lot of fun, and yeah, this is the new way. You've got to have a mullet for it. So a lot of that coming up. We're also going to be looking at some new films next year, which, as I said, I'm going to deep dive into stuff that you haven't seen. So out here in Australia, obviously, we have different distributors than you would in the States, Europe, wherever else in the world that you are. So we'll look at some of those ones that are released here that just don't get over there. So one in particular is a Rutger Hauer film called Split Second. It's a great film, which is kind of like a Blade Runner horror fest. It has the sort of grungy sort of look of a David Finch movie. At the same time, it's got a classic feel of just some of those really hard-boiled detective thrillers. But there's a real toughness to it too, with Rutger Hauer there as well. I remember seeing it on VHS years ago, and it's one we got to really deep dive and get into and enjoy. There's also some great ones coming up. The next episode, which is coming out next Monday, is Renegades. Now, this one was very hard to find. Can't find it on DVD or Blu-ray out here in Australia, but you can find it on VHS. So, like these bad boys out here, I've been hunting down on VHS and I found it and enjoyed it so much, because it looks like the guys did it between Young Guns 1 and Young Guns 2. Kiefer Sutherland and Lou Diamond Phillips said, you know what, we should do another movie. And they did. And it is a great film. It's a fun little crime flick, and it's about, you know, corrupt cops, basically the mob, if you like, gangsters, all pulled together, and it works. It really is a fun film. So we're going to talk about that one in the next episode. And I hope you get a chance to check it out if you haven't seen it. It's been a while since I saw it when I first got it out. Back in the, 90s, was it? So that's how long ago that was when it was first released. It was a big hit out here in Australia. So, again, not bad at all. All right, but let's get into the main chat here, folks. Highlander. So, obviously, as we said, we've got this one right here, Highlander the Gathering. As you can feel, yes, it's a VHS. You hear that rattle, folks, you know it's a VHS. So, again, you've got this amazing sort of glittering gold-like cover with the Highlander typeface. Just absolutely fantastic. This is what I love about it. This series out by Eagle Entertainment, Excellence in the Video, is just great. And, of course, we've got all the stars in the back. So we've got, of course, Christopher Lambert back as Connor McLeod. And we've got Adrian Paul as Duncan McLeod. Alexandra Vandenoot as Tessa, and she's great, she's fantastic. And of course, Richard Mull as Slan Quince. So we'll get in there very, very soon. And of course, you've got the iconic music from Queen, of course, in this one too. And of course, title music in this is, you know, the Princes of the Universe, obviously, too, and it's such a beautiful track. All right, so let's get into it. This is obviously a series which is beloved, particularly to members of this here channel. Kevin, g'day mate, there you go. And Lee, fillingsness. Of course, Blood of Kings was started by Kevin, and of course, ex-member of FPN, the dear Norman C. Lau. Norman, I hope you're out there and having a great Christmas and Happy New Year, mate, too. And, you know, my passion for it has been back with them as well, you know, really getting into it. And actually, folks, you can watch this series now on Amazon Prime. It's being put onto that platform too. I do believe it's on Tubi out here in Australia as well, which is T-U-B-I. Yeah, that's a free channel too, folks. Lots of great action movies in there. Bloodflight. Whoa, you got to watch that one. Bloodflight was really good too. So that's one you can see on there that comes up quite frequently on Tubi as well. Starring, of course, Bolo Jung. Bolo, bah! obviously, the film in this in particular is done as a movie, I think, in most releases I've seen of this so far. When it's by itself, but this is volume one of obviously the video set that came out. So, yeah, great for what it is. I think it's fantastic. It's got the first two episodes, and the second episode has, oh God, I can't even remember the actor's name, but he's the guy that played the antagonist towards Jack Ryan in Patriot Games, and he's also the scientist in Alien Resurrection, who's always going, oh no, no, you're not going to get the alien, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, we'll get to it. So Adrian Paul in this has come on as the new McLeod, Duncan McLeod, the one that's going to take us through the TV series. Adrian's fantastic. Obviously, very gifted actor. And he reminds me more of Sean Connery than he does, obviously, the other McLeod. There's a lot of mannerisms, but also just the confidence that he holds himself with and the mystique, the way he acts, it's spot on, but there's a Connery essence. If there ever was something more like Ramirez, it's him. You know, there's a certain cockiness and bravado even about the character of Duncan, you know, through all the squabbles that he's been through, I suppose, in his life. But I see that through that character. He's fantastic. And obviously his passion's carried on past this, not just in acting. Obviously he's gone on to do other stuff since Highlander, but obviously, with the sword experience, which he does now, is just such an amazing thing, because he's not only imparting the choreography of what these fight scenes in movies, TV shows, whatever it is, he's also imparting fitness to a certain extent, you know. The sword experience is not dissimilar to Tai Chi in some ways, or a kata in other martial arts. It's very much following those sorts of methods. If you're a stylist of Tai Chi in particular, doing the sword or even the staff, it's similar to that. You know, you're out there exercising, moving, and, you know, again, it's low impact. It's not really going to cause too much drama, but it's also a lot of fun. So it's involving the Bokken, or basically the wooden oak version of the katana, which is a training sword. Made famous, obviously, by going right back to the old days of the likes of Musashi, the samurais of the feudal era, who would, you know, a lot of them would train with live katanas, but it's got to a stage where you can't just train with those. You need to be able to live afterwards. So obviously they got oak, Japanese oak in particular, the white oak, and started to shave these out of, even out of ores and stuff like that, which was often what Musashi would do. You see that in the great series of films starring the one, the only, well, you know, Toshiro Mifune. And he's fantastic in it too. It's a great series. It's the Samurai 1, 2 and 3 films, all known as the Musashi Trilogy, basically. It's fantastic. He's done it around about the same time as the Seven Samurai. But anyway, we're getting off track here. So Adrian's great. He really does fit that role. And I think he's got a great camaraderie with, and always has, through the TV series too. Obviously doing Highlander Endgame with Christophe Lambert. You know, Lambert's great. Obviously as Connor, he's taken us through the movies. He's fantastic in the role. And he's iconic. You know, it's him with the detective sort of jacket, you know, the trench coat, waistcoat, whatever you want to call it. The katana and the sneakers. This kind of cool, calm killer. So you'd think, but obviously it's a little bit different. Then we have Alexandra van der Noot as Tessa Noel. And she's great. She's quite on point, I think. And one of the great things about it is, you know, it's at a time where obviously, Adrian's character, Duncan's, owns a shop. They're trying to really settle down where they are with this, business. And Tessa's starting to get older than him in terms of age and stuff like that. But immortally, obviously, he doesn't age. So it's interesting in these stories. Obviously, we see it in the movie. We get to see it in the others as well, just how that maps out. And it's quite interesting. But we'll have to see how, obviously, that goes through the series, how that affects things. And it's already in this episode. You can see a bit of tension with that. But there's also a bit of play with it as well. I think Alexandra's great in the role of Tessa. It's fantastic. It plays well off Adrian's acting too. Now, in as Richie Ryan is the late Stan Kirsch. Now, being somebody who had watched the series ages ago, only a couple of years ago before Stan had passed, I'd re-watched the first, I think it's the first two seasons of the series. And I noticed just how good Stan was in the role of Richie. And he's obviously somebody who was going to grow into a more, a larger role, and one that was going to sort of dominate not only the sort of trio of leads in this, but also really change Duncan's role as not only just somebody sort of looking after the shop at the start, and then moving into a position where he's a mentor in more ways than one, and then really a father figure to Richie's just fantastic. In some ways, a little bit like Connor is to Duncan. So there's that sort of play in there too. But what I liked about Christopher Lambert coming in this, Christopher was, you know, somebody who obviously, I think, knew that he had to get sort of do a favour for getting the ball rolling on the TV show for this, you know, and be the, you know, the baton passer, if you like. And he does quite well in this. Obviously, he's only in about probably, what, four scenes in this, maybe five, excluding the training shots, the montages, which, I mean, you can't have a show like this without a montage. You could have a montage, eh? Why not? Rocky had one. And, of course, they had them in the original film, Russell Mulcahy. So you got to have it. But, you know, again, he played just like the film. So it's kind of like it just walked straight from the film into the TV show. You know, it's Christopher Lambert. And, of course, you got his little laugh in there too. You got to have that too. So Richard Moll comes in as the villain who's kind of like a dumbed-down version of the Kurgan, this Slam Quince, Slam the Cat. He's got this sort of German army-looking jacket. He's got the little armoured faceplate, which kind of looked odd because these guys are immortal, aren't they? Don't they just heal? But then you think about it from the movie, the Kurgan had all those little marks around his neck and stuff like that after being sliced up by Ramirez as well. So maybe there's certain injuries that don't heal as immortals. Who knows? Who knows how it works? Richard Moll's interesting. I've seen his face pop up in different TV shows, movies over the years. Just looking at some of them, he's in Jingle All the Way, The Flintstones. He plays Hoagie. What else is he in? He's in, well, a lot of TV, folks. Basically, a lot of TV that's not shown here in Australia. He's in The Assassin's Code. He even does, he played the role of Two-Face in Batman, The Brave and the Bold as well. So, again, somebody that's been not only an actor, but also a voice actor. So hats off to him for that too. But the role of Slam Quince is basically to, I think, be your factory-level antagonist in this, to get, you know, the ball rolling pretty much, to show you what you're going to see in this series when immortals show up and face off against the McLeods, or Mac. I love how they call him Mac in this. what a friend does. You know, you go, hey, Mac, here you go, mate. All that sort of stuff. So in this episode, Duncan, who lives quietly with, obviously, Tessa, his girlfriend, has a run-in, obviously, with a young guy trying to steal stuff, which is Richie. And in between all that stealing that's going on and him getting to know Richie, this rival immortal rolls up, and that's Slam Quince. And the whole thing is about basically Slam trying to have his way and take out McLeod finally. But then there's two McLeods that he's got to take out. So that's what's interesting about the thing itself, is that he's got to put up with not one, but two. Two for the price of one, McLeods. There's two, which is great. But I think the cheese of this is that, you know, they realize they've got a small set. They can't really do the big, huge, elaborate fight scenes. And that you're not getting that in this episode. It's more about the foursome backs, which is pretty much what was great about Christopher Lambert and the work done by Clancy Brown as the Kurgan in the movie, was that you got a lot of that foursome backs, you know. You know, I did this. And then, of course, the same would come from, you know, him. The one-liners were great. And that's what really powered that first movie and even in the second movie too. So that happened in this one. You know, and I think they didn't really sort of go all out for that choreography just yet. Even though it's fun for what it is. And the swords are great in this too. Obviously, we've got the katanas. And, you know, the first question I had was, all right, we know that, you know, Connor has the Ramirez katana with the, you know, the dragon thing and all that sort of stuff, the hand guard and all that. The bone, I think it's made out of, whatever. You Highlander fans can tell us that. but then Duncan's got the same one. So that's the first query I had as a fan when I watched this. I thought, well, shouldn't Duncan have his own style of sword, not just have the... I think they just transposed that over initially just to have that. But, I mean, they have the same katana style. It was apparently made years ago. but, yeah, I enjoyed that. And I liked Slam Quince's... blade, this huge sort of broadsword blade. You know, it fits the character. The guy's huge. Looks like he's about 6'4", 6'5", big unit. And that blade is heavy. I mean, you can see that it's going to do some damage. I think it was, again, to sort of bring across a Kurgan-like figure in this, too. It was fun for what it was, I thought. But again, too, we get to see in the middle of this, too, Richie getting to know the characters as he hides out in the trunk of the car. Goes along to, obviously, fight. And in between that, too, we get to see that you know, in the flashbacks, too, with Duncan. Duncan's tried to actually get out of this fight with the Immortals a few times. Not just once. You know, and doing, of course, on holy ground, you know, where no Immortal can fight, apparently. So that's one of the rules, the golden rules out there. So with that, I think it's interesting that he's tried to do the same again, but it was Connor that had to drag him back in. You know, eventually you're going to have to just fight. And that's what made that interesting. I think that that's, you know, a solid bit of where this TV show gets it right, is that no matter what, these guys may not know where they've come from originally, because, again, they don't know the foundation of where these Immortals have been. Zeist, apparently. You know, and I think no matter what you come up with, Zeist is probably the more rational explanation. It's the whole thing that they came for the past and they had rifles in the past. Yeah, check out the footage in the Renegade Edition. It does not make sense. Sorry, Mr. Mulcahy. I know you're an Australian director and you're awesome and all that, but even that didn't make sense, mate. Highlander 2 is fun and what it is, but that's just... Yeah, it didn't make sense to me at all. To me, the mystique of who these guys are and the mystique of immortality and of the quickening should be kept exactly that, a mystery. It's a little bit like the Force in Star Wars. The more you explain it, the dumber it is. You know, that's what it is. You know, you should find little facets of it, little tiny bits and pieces of it, but gives you a broader idea, and then people can... pinch little bits and pieces in their own mind's eye, in their own canon, figure it out for themselves. I think that's a lot of franchises sort of burned their way through in this too. So, yeah, it's interesting. But all in all, I think, in particular, this series handles the mythology far better than the movies ever did. So out of these, you have to look at some of the trivia on these, which is just all up through there too. So Lambert reprises his role in this, and obviously did in Highlander 2, The Quickening. And it wasn't until, obviously, Endgame that he did the same again. And Endgame's great. I actually think, out of all the sequels, Endgame's probably the best. Not just that you got the one, the only. You know where I'm going, folks. Donnie Yen, yes, the master. Imagine, Adrian, if you... Not that you'd watch this show, but if you do... That must have been amazing to have Donnie on the set and to be able to work with him. Obviously, you're a stylist yourself of a traditional form of Kung Fu. But to have somebody like Donnie there would have been great to work with and pace off and stuff like that too. Particularly if you study Hong Gar and stuff like that too, Hong Kyun. Very interesting stylist too. So now obviously this has a flashback to 1872 where Duncan is visited by Connor. And then this one too, that's a great, again, one thing about this series, it's great, the flashbacks. So it's not the time travel as such, but the flashbacks, these memories of past lives, if you like. That's what makes it all interesting. And it brings me back to watching the show, folks, to be honest. And that's why every couple of months I'll sit through another season. I'm about to do season 3. So I might do a rewatch and catch up with Kevin and Lee and do a podcast with them, see my thoughts on that. The Mullet Chronicles, mate, tell ya. Obviously, it sets the pace, as it says, and some of these bits of trivia here too. Obviously, this is almost like the Highlander movie squashed into one episode of TV. I think that's pretty much what they tried to do. And, again, they've tried, obviously, to do that same sort of amount of energy. And it feels like, except the other one was more broader because it had a lot more when it came to seeing more of the backstory of those characters too. And this is the only episode that Connor was in. So, if you're hoping to see, obviously, the return of Christopher Lambert in the series, well, you're going to be shortchanged till Endgame, obviously, which obviously had a bit more of a budget. And you got to see some more returning characters from the original film in that one too, plus Bruce Payne. Bring in the pan. It's great. Ever since Passenger 57, that dude has rocked the house. We're going to do that on this show too soon, folks. Passenger 57, mate. It's going to happen. but I think, the biggest thing is that Christopher Lambert may have started this character and obviously done it in the features. He's had less screen time as a McLeod, but Adrian's really paved the way, not only as, what an immortal can be, but he's obviously somebody that actually is a martial artist, somebody that's trained to fight on stage. And, he delivers. Everything he does is convincing, incredibly convincing. And I've always enjoyed his portrayal in the role. And I've loved the rest of the cast. I think they really nailed everything when it came to this series. And the pilot's no slouch. This is a fantastic episode. The two episodes that are in here anyway. To me, this gets on the Hallenbeck scale a whopping 5 out of 5, folks, because it is awesome. Anyway, this is Lethal Mullet. I want to say, again, thanks to you all for obviously following us over the last 12 months, 2 years here at FPM, and can't wait to see you all in the new year with Lethal Mullet moving into its own network. And, of course, a big thanks to Kevin and Kyle for being us there, huge support for us, and dear pals. So from us all here at FBN, Happy New Year, folks, and we'll catch you in the new year.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to the Fandom Podcast Network and all of the other awesome shows we have to offer. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture news podcast. Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite pop culture topics. End Zone, the NFL podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville podcast. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s and 90s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a new Star Trek podcast with a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.